Welcome to Song Creating on Radio St. Pete Sunshine 96.7 FM. Join us as we celebrate the sparks that ignite, the events that inspire, and the songwriters that create. With your host, Steve Robb.
Mark Doran is an artist that can captivate the audience with just his guitar and thought-provoking stories. This singer-songwriter weaves a rich musical tapestry to the heartfelt lyrics of a poet. The result is a folk-infused, gentle rock that transports the listener inside the music. Mark has released 4 albums of original music, and I'm happy to have him along with us today. So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Mark, is it Doran or Duran?
You know, that's debatable in my family. It has Irish heritage, so it could be either. I answered a lot of things, so.
No, when you're, okay, so
when I'm about to introduce you once. Yeah, you go, Mark Doran.
Mark Doran, okay. Yeah. Mark Doran, welcome to Song Creating.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you. And so now you're down in Tampa area?
Yes, I live in Dunedin, Florida.
Oh, you do live in Dunedin?
Yeah.
I didn't realize you were right there in town.
That's right.
This has been fun because I've recently spent some time in Dunedin and have been fortunate to be able to spend a couple months a year down there. And it's a great town with an amazing musical community there.
It is. That's one of the reasons I moved here. I've been part of this area, the community of artists in this area since, 30 years ago. I started playing when I was in college. So I've grown with a lot of musicians and know a lot of folks around here. And Dunedin has grown over the years to be one of the best places for musicians. So
it's amazing. You go from one restaurant and bar to another, and you just hear another great band. And the breweries, too, are so, everything's so supportive down there.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah, I think that's part of the reason. And there's the artists in this area are very good with each other. They work together and fill in for each other if there's a gig that needs to be worked or something. And I really like that. And part of that came from a co-op, a music co-op that we had in the area at Safety Harbor, where you were at that Crooked Thumb. Mm-hmm. Kip Kelly, the owner of Crooked Thumb, and some of the other folks, early on, we were part of a music co-op, which brought all these musicians together to share on tips on gigging and where to play. And it was a really, I think, the most useful thing that happened in this area for musicians. So
it's interesting. So it sounds like it's much more supportive than it is competitive.
Yeah, I think, you know, in the business, there's going to be people that are very competitive, but sure. But this is less competitive and less niche. People seem to work together, and there's so many gigs, I think, that it's easier to work together if you're not all chasing the same gig.
But Dunedin aside, that whole South Florida music scene is just huge.
It is amazing.
It's incredible.
Yeah, there's some great writers.
And a friend of mine from the Northeast had made the observation that when you grow up in the South, you can be outside playing busking on the street 12 months out of the year. You can play the same song over and over again because everybody's walking by.
That's right.
And up north, you're stuck inside and you keep playing the same song and your mother finally yells up and says, would you play something different? So it's a very different mentality down
here. Yes, it is. It's all year long we play music down here, so maybe that helps everybody get together and do it. Yeah.
So, did you grow up in Florida?
Yes, I did, over in Lakeland, Florida.
And give me a little background on your whole musical path, because it takes you around the country, if I recall.
Yes, I've been playing music ever since I was a kid. I connected to music. I think it was because my mother would put us to sleep with different albums for us to listen to and comment in the morning. And I found myself at a young age.
Wait, hold on.
Yes.
Hold on. So you had to, like, give a review? You had homework already, and you had to give a review of the album?
She would always ask us what we thought of it. So we would get some stuff from Motown. We'd get classical music. We would get a variety of different types of music.
Wow.
And I think she thought that it would help us in other ways, maybe be quiet as we went to bed. Uh-huh. But I connected to music from that point forward, and I've absolutely loved it. It moved me.
Yeah. Is there one album that stands out in particular that helped lull you to sleep?
Concerto number 2 in C minor from Rachmaninoff. I think that would be my favorite.
And you're not making that up now. You're serious. You remember that?
Well, yes, of course. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say like Dark Side of the Moon, you know, or something like
well,
that.
Well, you see, what I went to sleep with later, that is my favorite album of all time. Dark Side of the Moon, but you asked what I used to go to sleep to the best, and I think it was Rachmaninoff. So,
wow.
But yes, when I was a kid, I connected to Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. I think it's if I was to have one album to listen to, that would be it.
My college roommate and I, our freshman year, I listened to jazz, and he listened to Lynyrd Skynyrd, and we agreed on Dark Side of the Moon, and I think we must have worn that album out because we put that on as we're going off to bed going to sleep. And
from start to finish.
It was one thing we could agree on.
Yeah, that's a great album.
Absolutely. And I knew if I heard that last song, you've been mad, you've always been mad, or you know whatever that lyric is, I go, all right, I guess I've got insomnia now. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great album. But I was influenced from all different types of music from a very young age, everything from bluegrass to classical music. So.
Yeah. And it influences your songwriting too, I think.
Yeah, I think that if you've had more influences, because we're really like the sum total of all the music we've listened to as writers. So perhaps with the more that you listen to the varieties, different types, it gives you different influences. Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
So tell me about your early years. You had a band in high school?
Yeah, I played. I started actually writing my earliest songbook was 1974. I was getting ready to graduate from high school, and that was a collection of some stories and everything. I started writing and continued to write when I was in the military. I would go to the guitar for solace and to write music while I was in the military. After I got out, I went to college over at the University of Florida, where I was lucky enough to meet some guys, and we put together a band over at the University of Florida there that became quite successful. Hmm. We did all original music, and we were called ICOK. And so as we continued with college, we got big in this area, and we started opening for bigger named acts like Al Stewart at some places. So we went on tour up in the Northeast and lived that rock and roll band lifestyle up there. And then after that, any musician will run home and be quiet for a while because touring is so hard. You know, if you've done some yourself, it's hard. And so after that, I came home and continued to write music, but didn't have as much interest in tour, and I played locally and found other ways to express myself through music. That's kind of my story.
You hinted at your high school graduating year of class of 1974, and which leads us. I don't want to jump ahead too far because I want to hear a little bit more about your background, but. The song we're talking about today kind of lends itself to that whole age thing. And,
absolutely.
You know, I'm 62. I could absolutely relate to this thing. And but let's not jump too quickly to that. Tell me a little bit about what you were writing and evolvement of your songwriting and over the years.
I would say that I've been described as kind of a singer-songwriter type that lends his music to kind of a pop sound, I would describe myself, in varying degrees. Depending on the type of song, I might be closer to Americana, other songs I might be closer to hard rock. But in between all that is probably some of the pop sensibilities with some arrangements that include harmonies and a full orchestrated sound for at least the 4 albums that I've recorded that way. Over time, I've evolved to experiment with music, doing experimental music. I go to a friend's studio once a week, and we write a song from scratch and write different arrangements with different instruments on it, to explore ourselves in trying to write, you know, drums or bass parts. So for over the last couple of years, we've written about 100 different instrumentals. So that's been kind of a new,
wow, new thing. Instrumentals with no lyrics?
No lyrics. Yeah, so exploring arrangements, just the instruments, help you when you're starting to write your own songs and you're thinking about how to make those arrangements. And so we've had fun as friends just working in a studio. Nothing serious. We're not, you know, we have some that we could submit to some maybe somebody for soundtracks or something. But we're really not. I'm just exploring music in general. But lyrics, this is a lyric-driven program. So it would, my lyrical songs would probably have more impact for your listeners. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. But and you, as you said, you are a lyric driven writer.
Yes, I am.
As you write these without lyrics, do you write a melody into it, and are you thinking of something?
Yes, I do. I do think that. And I want to connect that to how I write lyrics. I'm very melody driven. I can write a song if the lyrics are in front of me. I can write that direction, but I'm also writing the other direction, to where I will hear the melody and I'll know the syllables, how many syllables will be in an area. And I can also use that when I'm doing instrumentals, because instead of a vocal track or the melody, I'll be playing a different instrument. So I'm still practicing on how to, if I was to put lyrics in it, the melody that I'm playing on the instruments are similar to that. So I haven't recorded a lot of lyrical albums lately. I have written a lot of songs that haven't been recorded that I do play out. And one of the things that I've learned about music is the songs evolve a bit. I'm not sure if you've experienced it with your music, but after you write a song, all of a sudden when you start singing it out, the phrasing's a little different. It will evolve. And I like to do that with the songs that are lyric-driven now. I like to play them out a few times to see what starts to come of them. And it's been and it's been very helpful to play them out live a few times, because they evolve and they change a little bit. And so I'm practicing doing that more. As I write a lyric song, I'll go out there and I'll sing it probably for about a year and try to see where it goes with that.
Tell me a little bit about your songwriting process as you develop a song.
Yeah.
Where do you go?
I have a couple different ways I go about it. I am lucky enough for some of my songs to come to me in my sleep. Literally, I will lay in bed and hear music, and I have to get up and write chord structures down or maybe some type of lyrics next to my bed. Others is I go looking to write on a particular subject. I try to gather my thoughts and put words that would describe the subject matter, just as a way for me to get into it. So like I was talking earlier about, maybe if I was writing a song about Florida, I'll be writing sunshine, palm trees, everything that reminds me about a subject, you know. And I might have those as a way to look to pull from. Other times, when I write, I'll sit there and I'll start playing a song, the melody on a guitar. And I'll find an interesting chord progression and I'll go, that is something I think I can write to. And so I try to start humming. I practice not doing too much editing in the beginning, because you really want a song to just flow right out. And sometimes they do. I have songs that I've written and they haven't changed from the time I've written them. Other ones evolve over time. Other things, I've thrown out different verses that didn't work. But when I'm thinking about writing for a specific reason, that's a little bit different than a natural process, because I have to pull myself into that subject matter artificially. But most of my songs happen when I'm just allowing myself to be creative. I'll be playing the guitar, I'll be exploring different chords and fingering, and then what I start hearing is a melody in my head of what could this be, the possibilities. And I hear notes, and I start to feel the song starting to take shape by just that melody. And then I look for the timing of it and the tempo. How will I phrase words? Well, how many syllables will be in an area? So I try to feel that out and ferret out the syllables before I lock in on words, just to make sure I know what I'm trying to put together. And then I just roll with it. Write as much as coming out. Don't edit until later. Step back from it later, and then I go back and start editing a little bit more.
When you're writing those lyrics, is the guitar always there on that song? You're really doing that in tandem? Or do you sometimes just write lyrics and an idea?
I just write lyrics sometimes, because when I might be going somewhere, like I had gone out to Caladese Island, which is a beautiful island out here, I was compelled to start writing about everything around me that I saw, the beauty, and describe it on paper. Of course, it was on a brown paper bag that I had for my lunch, but I took that back and I have a shoebox that I put lyrics in. And if I'm writing a particular song and I'm feeling like I might need to go through some of those and see if they can connect to it, I have that option. On occasions, I'll pull the box out and forget I've written entire songs and go, oh, yeah. So one key I've also learned is to write the chords to the lyrical content if it has structure and melody for music. Because when you're in a hurry and you start writing all the lyrics, you forget to write the chords at the very top, what chord it's in, what key. And I found songs that I had written way in the past that I didn't do that, didn't take notes, that were entire songs that I had no idea what chords they were. So I have to now leave little clues for me if I'm writing a lot at once.
So that little voice memo app I just showed you is going to come in really handy when you have that guitar and an idea.
You see, technology has brought us to places. I'm still writing things on paper bags, but
oh, absolutely. But it does help you remember. I've got tracks and tracks of little snippets of ideas and chords.
That is a great idea, though.
And you just record it.
When you're riding around in the car, you can just hit this button here and record it and get.
Or
some...
when you wake up in your bed.
And, oh my God, that's a great idea. Yeah, that's a great idea.
All right, you heard it here first, everybody. No, those young guys have been doing that for a long time.
You're bringing me into the 21st century. That is, I could help you. Yeah.
So, back to your maturity level. This song, Just Like You, give us the background on this.
All right, Just Like You is a song I wrote about a rejection I got on another song. And so, to bring you back into the story a little bit, It is a song, Just Like You, is about being judged for my age, not the content of the music that I had. And it started out with, years ago, we used to submit tapes to different people to see if you can get through somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody, or you had an A&R rep. And we were in a situation when CDs just came out. We knew somebody that was producing an independent movie. And we had a back door that knew somebody that we could get our music listened to. And with every writer, you want to get on a soundtrack that plays forever. So we were excited to submit a song to him. It was called I'm So Lonely. It was a song written about high school, and the movie was going to be about a high school experience. So he was looking for songs that had to do with that time in people's life. So my producer and I thought, well, let's look and see what we have in some of my old lyrics back to 1974, the black folder lyrics where I had a lot of dark songs in high school. And we found this song to dust off and kind of polish it a little bit. And we submitted I'm So Lonely to them, and they loved it. He didn't know anything about me, and I wasn't applying for a job, so I didn't send a bio or a picture of myself or anything like that. And we knew that we were in the running, but we didn't know exactly where we stood. So there had been some time that had gone past. And I was at a songwriter showcase in Lakeland at the Polk Theater, a great venue. And some folks from the movie came down to visit me. And after the show, I went over and talked to him at a table. I was surprised because I didn't expect a personal visit. But I could tell immediately he was a bit uncomfortable and wasn't sure exactly why. You know, I was listening, thinking to myself, did I perform all right tonight? Everything went well, yes. It turns out he was under the impression that I was in my 20s, and at the time I was in my 40s. And I don't know where he got the impression from, except for his assistant had a picture of me that she must have When things started online, there wasn't probably a whole lot of things that regulated where people could get information. And she got a picture of me from high school with playing in a circle music with some friends. And I thought the biggest giveaway should have been the puka shells, but it wasn't. She thought I was
young. Is it coming back, I hear?
Yeah. So they were expecting a younger version of me. So the guy was a bit dumbfounded because they'd flown out there. They were looking at a site, I think, to do the movie set on, and he thought he'd stop by, but he was just shocked. And he goes, you know, he was sitting at a table with me. He goes, you know, we really love your song. We're looking for somebody just like you, but you're just too old. We're looking to promote the film with the independent musicians. And I thought it was a great concept, but I was the only one that would have been the old fart on the whole tour, and it just wouldn't have worked. So, I mean, I was taken back. It affected me for a while, thinking that I came so close to a great opportunity. And then, because I was just too old at that point, I couldn't support the music tour. They wanted to put together the young folks, which I think was a great idea. You know, yeah. Independent writers to, you know, feature them, to pair it up with the independent film. So I got rejected. And then I wrote this song, just like you, because I think in life, we write a lot of times about major events, whether it's falling in love or losing love or getting rejected by an album or a movie producer. So I wrote this song, and I played it for a couple of my friends. And at first, it didn't really take, because it's kind of a sad and like pitying myself song. But it resonated with people when I started playing out, because they saw themselves in ageism with their jobs. So it became more of a metaphor for other people's experiences with their jobs, and became kind of an unexpected hit of mine. I was lucky enough to have even our friend Jay cover it on his album and get it requested quite often when I play out. So you never know which song that is going to be, but this one has certainly been it.
I'd like to think this is going to come full circle, and this song will make it to a soundtrack of a very, very famous movie. I don't know what that movie will be.
Oh, I hope you're so right.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be
awesome.
Well,
there's that whole story. You know, there's a whole story now about IBM in the news that some emails came out that they were calling employees over 40 or over 50 dinosaurs, and they were trying to, you know, weed them out of the company. And you know, it's a huge issue. And I guess I don't know. I haven't had to work for the man ever, so I'm not sure about all that ageism. But in my business, I also, you know, there was a lot of young clients who I work with, and at 40, I did start feeling old.
You
start feeling that way.
And music and a few other professions, probably a little bit more. So you're visually out there, and so you get a little bit more judgment as you get older in music. But that song, when I don't know about other writers, but I tend to write a lot of autobiographical songs when it comes to major events. And this seemed to have been a major event enough for me to write it and try to get it off my chest, because I was walking around looking in the mirror maybe way too much for that other wrinkle or that extra gray hair, and thinking maybe I am too old for all this. So, you know, it took a while to get back on a horse and say, hey, I'm enjoying myself. I love music, and that's why I do it.
What I've noticed, and I'm sure you've seen this as well, is we've got all ages playing and out there, especially like, you know, in towns like Dunedin, where you've got you know, old guys playing rock and roll. I've seen everything, so I get it about the movie business and all of that. There's certainly, you know, that ageism there, but it does seem to be at least something that we can keep going with for a while.
You can enjoy music in so many different ways. I mean, some of the guys that enjoy it from their house or don't feel comfortable going out and playing them live. So they might record music, or they may get involved with different ways. But I give the old guys, a lot of credit. Some of these guys are retired now. They've worked for somebody their whole life. They want to get out there and try something they dreamed of as a child. And I used to host an open mic and saw a lot of them, and it encouraged them. So some of them end up doing it for fun. You'll find in this area some guys that have been in the music business so long, they're so talented, they're just so good. Mm-hmm. And they do it because it's been their life, their entire life. That's all they've done. So you'll find quite a variety here.
I'm confusing the New England with Dunedin, where in New England, it's we've got a lot of, there's a whole group of young people, and I'm in the Boston area, so you've got that large, you know, very young Boston crowd coming out of Berklee College, coming out of the other colleges and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure there are guys in the middle, but then there's a lot of the, you know, the old folk guys like the Vance Gilberts and, you know, these guys who, Vance would probably kill me if I'm guessing, I don't think he's quite 60 yet, but no. Maybe he's pushing that.
Yeah.
Mid-50s, thereabouts.
Yeah.
And, you know, between that and they just keep putting out good music, but also this love for classic rock, and the kids still love classic rock.
Yeah.
And so there's still those bands. I just saw the Smithereens the other day. I don't know if you remember this New Jersey band, the Smithereens.
Yeah.
They're fantastic, great guys, and they're all like in their 60s now, still playing the same great. Marshall Crenshaw, boy, he's, you know, great voice. And so you've got this, but they're already there.
Yeah,
you know, they've
yeah.
already made it, and they made it there when they were young. So they can there's a difference there.
Yeah.
About,
yeah, they kind of grow up with their audience. So the young girls that were
yes.
teenagers watching them prance
right.
around on stage are now growing up with them and still connect
exactly.
to them. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly. Although that wouldn't be the Smithereens. They did not prance.
<That's right. laughs>
They were an 80s band out of New Jersey that they swore they did not wear spandex ever.
That's true.
It was pretty funny. That's yeah, no, they said they guys looked at them and said, "You look like you just came in off the street." Well, yeah, we did. You know, they didn't tease the hair and do any of that.
Yeah.
But enough about them. Just a fun group of guys. So what are you doing now? With are you out there performing?
Yes, I am. I play a few times a month here in Dunedin. Actually, I play at some of the local restaurants and a wine bar, and get to explore doing some cover songs that I used to play as a kid, and at the same time, keep playing my original music. And these places are very friendly to that, and I like that. So,
yeah, nobody's been yelling out, "Play some Van Morrison."
Oh, yeah. You'll get that.
You still get that, okay.
And on occasion, when you're out playing at a restaurant, I'll do my best to accommodate them. It's a lot of fun to maybe cover somebody else's songs they want to sing along. And I can understand they're looking
yeah.
for that musical experience instead of my original music, so... You find it out, but each audience is a little bit different. I still do home concerts, which are the best for a lot of songwriters because you get to take the time to talk about every song.
Yeah.
And so I enjoy doing house concerts when they're available, but I'm not looking to jump out and tour again. It would take a lot to convince me of something like that now that I'm older. So
yeah.
I'm exploring different facets of music.
One thing I noticed being down there was that I heard great bluegrass. You know, you've got terrific bluegrass at Woodroy Brewery, and I know there's a big festival there on the Causeway in Dunedin in November, October.
Yeah.
Some terrific jazz, some really great funk. I heard very little of the classic, what you would expect to hear in Florida, Jimmy Buffett music. And
yeah. Well, I can tell you that most of the time when you're playing out, sooner or later, somebody's going to request a Jimmy Buffett song. So I would think to have one in your tool bag is a good thing.
It didn't seem to be something that was pervasive, and I thought I'd hear a lot more of it than I did.
Yeah, I think I would put that in like the trop rock category. We do have some great bands in this area that are more Buffett-like and such,
yeah.
But we do have, like you said, we've got such a great variety, everything from bluegrass to singer-songwriters and great rock bands.
Well, and blues. I mean, there's great blues bands
Yeah, we got some of the best guitar players.
Who's that
players.
Kid, J.D. South or something like that? He's a little gunslinger, guitar slinger, and he's terrific.
Oh, these young guys, I'm quite fascinated. I always used a guitar as an instrument to support my music, lyrics. There are some guys that are so good at guitar, they don't need to write a song. They're just great lead guitar players. And
But he also has some great songs. He's had a good voice, too. I hope I have his name right. I don't think I do quite right. But his last name was South.
Well, some guys were born with all the talent. I don't know if I was one of those guys. But somebody, there's a lot of those triple threats down here that are young, good-looking, talented, twice as talented as me, and then also great lead guitar players. So we have it all.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Boy, you're really making me want to get down there again. And when I do get down there again, you and I are going to get together.
Hey, we'll go out, have a beer, and play at the Crooked Thumb.
I'd love to
see. They got an open mic every week there, and I know Kip's the owner. He's a friend of mine. We'll have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So how can people hear more of your music, Mark?
Well, they can go to Reverb Nation under artist Mark Duran. I have set it up that all my four solo albums are available for download there, and I've set it up so people could download free. On there is a Venmo address. If somebody want to leave me a little money for love, that's great, but I'd rather get my music out there for everybody to enjoy. And So if they go to Reverb Nation, I'll have four albums that are available, and hopefully they'll enjoy that.
All right. Well, Mark, this has been great, and I really appreciate your time. I love your insight. I can relate to more than just the song. I do find that you and I have a very similar approach to a lot of things. So I really look forward to meeting you when I get back down there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Nobody can really see what's behind Mark, but his back wall is full of colorful paintings of. I see a manatee, and it looks like a what's that fish in the lower, the green fish with the blue. What do you call that?
Mahi,
yeah. It got palm trees and yeah.
Yeah, I love the paint as well.
These are all yours.
Oh yeah, I love to paint and sculpt. I have to tell you, I'm like a Renaissance man. I have to touch the creative particle of life any chance I can.
Fantastic, that's great. Well, good for you. You're a very expressive guy, and I mean, Mark's been smiling the whole interview here, so
thanks.
I think he's the type of person who makes everybody feel welcome and feel at home, and I bet that shows that comes through in your music and
I
when
sure
you're performing
so.
Too. I think that's great. All right, Mark, thank you so much. We're gonna go out listening to Mark's great song, Just Like You.
Well, I sent them my CD and they like what they heard. They love the music, melodies and words. So they got on an airplane to see my show. They're bringing me a contract and a pocket full of dough. But now they're telling me, now they're telling me. But now they're telling me, yeah, we like your songs, but you're too old. We're looking for, well, a younger version of yourself who plays just like you. Words that dance upon the page, touching hearts of every age, who writes just like you. You're hard to package, a bit too old. It might affect the album sold. As I sat at the table, didn't know what to say. Just grabbed my guitar and said, have a nice day. But the people that come here to hear me play, they care about the music, don't care about my age. Now they're telling me, now they're telling me. Now they're telling me, yeah, we like your songs, but you're too old. We're looking for, well, a younger version of yourself who plays just like you. Words that dance upon the page, touching hearts of every age, writes just like you. But you're hard to package, a bit too old. It might affect the album's soul.
Thanks for listening to Song Creating on Radio St. Pete, Sunshine 96.7 FM. To listen to more episodes, head over to songcreating.com. You can also find us on Amazon Music and Stitcher. And to check out my own music, go to steverobb.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, keep a song in your head and music in your heart.